What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
I was noticing on TikTok more than I ever had in my life how quickly a sound can get an emotional response out of me. It's sort of like if you're attending a wedding and you're not that close to the people who are getting married, but one of them's crying while they're saying their vows, and it's so moving to hear someone else crying or even to hear their attempt not to cry in their voice that you tear up too. I think that's clearly true of a lot of people using TikTok, because when you look at the comments, people will write things like, I've never cried so much in my life, or I hope this is what I hear when I get to heaven. And they're saying this about clips that are sometimes less than 10 seconds long.
What is the best name?
My cat is called Juno, and it suits her fine, so let's have Juno as the best name. What's the best name?
Gerard. No, it's not. It's Juno.
So it made me think, why are we so affected by sounds on TikTok when those sounds aren't inherently musical or don't have a lot of verbal information? I'm Charlotte Shane. I write for the New York Times Magazine. And for better or worse, I'm a TikTok enthusiast. When you upload a video on TikTok, you can choose to make the audio for that video available for people to reuse as many times as they want. So you're essentially packaging it as a meme.
Yo, bro, who got you smiling like that?
What do you want?
A chocolate.
Look at this distinguished gentleman.
Is this your elbow? Or is this your elbow?
That's what they saying.
Who's saying that?
I am.
I really want some miso soup. Oh my god, miso soup!
I think of memes as containers. Because you can change what's inside, but the container still has a distinct shape of its own. It's just recognizable, like a knock-knock joke. Different every time, but you also kind of know what to expect.
Hold on.
There's one sound that's popular on TikTok that I never get tired of. It's the sound of glass shattering. And then a little boy says, in a nasally voice,
Oh no!
Oh no!
Our table.
It's broken.
Well, the table broke.
I've been with people who reference it in passing conversation, and really all you have to do is hint at it.
Oh no!
Our table! And anyone in your vicinity who knows it will be completing it in their head, if not out loud.
It's broken!
There's this scene in the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit that I think really gets at this sensation. It's the one where Roger's hiding behind the bar, and the villain, played by Christopher Lloyd, is trying to entice Roger to come out by tapping on the walls, shave and a haircut. And Roger is losing his mind. He's trying to resist, but eventually he busts out of the wall because he can't stand the phrase being unfinished. The sounds on TikTok are similar. It's sort of like when your favorite song cuts off at the part you were most excited for. They produce a feeling of wanting a sound to complete so badly that you simply have to keep listening, usually several times over. I can't think of many other things in life that create that same intensity with the stakes being so low. So I wanted to figure out, with TikTok being the most popular app in the world, how has it changed our relationship to sound? So here's my article, Why Do We Love TikTok Audio Memes? Call It Brain Feel, read by Shayna Small.
This was recorded by Autumn. To listen to more stories from The New York Times, The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, and other publications on your smartphone, download Autumn on the App Store or the Play Store. Visit Autumn, that's AUDM.com, for more details. On March 25th, 2020, Chris Gleason was in bed at his parents' house in Pennsylvania, thinking up ideas for videos that might go viral. Just before graduating from college with a musical theater degree in 2019, he took a job at a nautical-themed restaurant in the Washington, D.C. area, where he served oysters and cocktails with names like Boston Tea Party and Blown Off Course. When COVID-19 temporarily shuttered indoor dining, he quit and moved back home before attending business school. In the interim, he recorded 2 or 3 videos a day, writing scripts and editing the footage on his phone. Then he uploaded the results on TikTok. That month, in the early days of the pandemic, American adults spent well over 1 billion hours on the platform, which had become the most downloaded non-game app in the world. A few of Gleason's posts, him dancing to the Law & Order theme, a skit about clueless restaurant patrons.
Let's see where I can put this.
Just put it anywhere. We're going to share it. So
had gone modestly viral in the past, and he was intrigued by the possibility of making a mega hit. TikTok had given so many users their 15 minutes of fame. Surely he, with his performance background, could be among them. What he came up with, a mocking take on his conflicted inner dialogue, is now cultural history.
Nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna know.
They're gonna know.
How would they know?
The post has been viewed more than 14 million times, but the reach of its exasperated exchange, nobody's gonna know, they're gonna know, is much, much larger. When a creator uploads a video to TikTok, they have an option to make that video's audio a sound that other users can easily use in their own videos, lip-syncing to it, adding more noise on top, or treating it as a soundtrack. Gleason's sound has been used in at least 336,000 other videos. Through that repurposing, Gleason, who now works in advertising in New York, has gone viral again and again.
Nobody's gonna know.
Footage of a lone tourist climbing to the top of Chichen Itza in Mexico has been viewed 72 million times. A restaurant's demonstration of how you can cut a whole pizza to disguise eating a slice, 82 million. This year, the actress and model, Shay Mitchell, used the sound when she announced her second pregnancy, following in the steps of the singer Meghan Trainor, who used it in 2020 when she was in the third trimester of her first pregnancy. Gleason's dry delivery, coupled with the instrumental score he discovered while searching for dramatic reality TV show tracks, turned out to be ideal meme material. Generic enough to apply to whatever scenario in which viewers might find themselves, it combined high-stakes drama and spot-on comic timing. Plus, it's short. "I tend to be a little long-winded," Gleason said while reflecting on his near-instant classic. But that one worked out to be 22 seconds. The accompanying score, named Primal Fear, was released by Dave James in 2011, and thanks to Gleason's boost, leads a robustly memed life of its own. Gleason's voice, more than Gleason himself, is the star. The original post's comment section is still frequented by people expressing shock that they've finally found the source after tracing it through its reuses. Often they say they were convinced that the dialogue was from an actual reality TV show. Millions of people know how Chris Gleason sounds, but have no idea what he looks like. "Whenever I'm out with my friends, they're like, 'Oh, Chris is famous,'" Gleason said. "But I don't feel famous, because people only know my voice."
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for The New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray. And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the era of the audio meme, a time when replicable units of sound are a cultural currency as strong as, if not stronger than, images and text. Though TikTok didn't invent the audio meme, its effortless interface may have perfected it. And the platform, which recently ended Google's 15-year-long run as the most visited website in the world, would be nothing without sound. And what a range of sound there is. TikTok is well known as a music industry hitmaker integral to the success of pop stars like Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion, as well as sleekly produced artists with writing teams capable of engineering the catchy, often danceable hooks that blaze through the app. Homemade covers, someone singing in their bedroom a cappella, or accompanied only by keyboard or acoustic guitar, can get traction too. But the viral canon is made up of much stranger sounds. Evocative line readings from TV and film, a child beatboxing, an amateur golfer swearing, the teenage user at Couch Table's accent challenge.
Hey, we got the accent challenge. So we're like from a simple.
A mushy, nearly unintelligible recital of slang with a hyper-exaggerated Southwest Missouri accent has reached tens of millions of viewers. A clip of a video game character's echoey shouts of "Hoo!"
Hoo!
Ha!
Ha!
We?
We!
Was renamed "Why Is Everyone Using This?" after it served as the soundtrack for extremely popular puppy videos, boyfriend-girlfriend skits, and a send-up of a bikini barista's pervy customers. Why are we drawn to such uncategorizable sounds? The noises that deliver limited to no information yet elicit our adoration. If mouthfeel is used to indicate the visceral experience of consuming food and drink, brain feel might be a decent descriptor for what makes a sound compelling beyond musical qualities or linguistic meaning, though the sensation hits within music and language too. A funny pronunciation that you can't stop imitating, the drop that gets the whole club jumping, the plaintive meow of a cat, the key that turns in your heart when you hear someone speak with great emotion. That's brain feel, ineffable and affecting, and addictive. Older meme-generating hotbeds like Twitter, Reddit, and 4chan rely on silent visual communication. And while it isn't exactly labor-intensive to type text over a still from The Simpsons or plug it into the empty panels next to Drake dancing in the Hotline Bling video, you still have to pull the image, open a program to tamper with it, then move it to wherever you want it. Using an uploaded sound on TikTok takes a few taps, and you never leave the app. This functionality traces back to TikTok's 2018 merger with Musical.ly, another Chinese-owned video app, one focused on lip-syncing. According to internet lore, what became TikTok's sound feature was known on Musical.ly as Remuse instead of Reuse. One way or another, the function created an unprecedented mode of cross-user riffing and engagement, like quote-tweeting for audio. Occasionally, TikTok delivers a piece of viral content in which the visuals can't be parsed from the sound. Nathan Apodaca, at 420dogface208, may have created the blueprint for this when he recorded himself skateboarding on a sunny day in September 2020, drinking from an Ocean Spray bottle and lip-syncing along to Fleetwood Mac's Dreams. But much more often, TikTok virality and its ability to create culture that travels off the app depends on memifying sound. Before social media, Gleason's "nobody's gonna know" might have been called a catchphrase, a banal word combination animated by unique context and delivery. Did I do that?
Did I do that?
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
And how you doing?
How you doing?
Would mean nothing if not for the precise tones and cadences with which their originators, Jaleel White as Steve Urkel, Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator, and Wendy Williams as herself, so reliably rendered them. In a phone call, the linguist Molly Babel mentioned Alicia Silverstone's "as if" from the movie Clueless. Taken all together, Silverstone's iconic phrasing, intonation, and cadence are the sound.
Ugh, as if!
Like earworms, these quips are so mentally sticky that it takes just a few listens for your mind to latch onto them and never let go. Try reading them without hearing their corresponding acoustic signatures in your head. Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny!
You talking to me?
You talking to me?
Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
Memes are often symbols, says Don Caldwell, editor-in-chief of the dizzyingly comprehensive website Know Your Meme, and exceptionally viral memes tend to be very novel or very catchy or just very, very striking emotionally. Even when they're estranged from their origins, i.e. taken out of context, they're funny or moving or both. He mentions "Sad Trombone" as a pre-internet audio meme, and it occurs to me that the song "Yakety Sax" counts too. Both musical cues evoke an unmistakable mood in and of themselves, but after decades of application to that effect, their deployment adds another layer of information to whatever scene they orchestrate. It's a wink to the audience that positions the moment within a cultural continuum. The famous Wilhelm scream, a histrionic stock effect taken from a 1951 film, has since appeared in more than 100 movies, where it has become an inside joke for sound engineers and film fans. An audio meme's most crucial quality, though, is the ability to instantly excite us, to make us think, upon the first listen, I need to hear that again. The Brooklyn native, Joel Joseph, known online as Lord Heck, had amassed about 200,000 followers by September 2021 when "Love Nwan Titi," a mellow, haunting song by the Nigerian singer CK, exploded on TikTok. Several influencers choreographed challenges for the song, but Joseph, a 24-year-old dancer and instructor who has been creating content online for almost a decade, got hooked on a smooth, playful version set to the pre-chorus. One morning, while in Las Vegas for work, he recorded a vocal track in his hotel bathroom to go with a performance that he shot later that day by the side of a large backyard pool. The audio consists entirely of exuberant cues and hype noises. Jump, then you gotta bend, point, hey, 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 clap, clap. Used to keep time with the music. And his delivery is so confident and joyful that the visuals of the dance almost become secondary to the sonic experience of his personality. When I teach my students, I make these sounds instead of doing 5, 6, 7, 8, the typical count, he said. It's easier for me to remember each thing by either stating what's happening or making a sound associated with it. Joseph hadn't set out to make a viral sound. It was, after all, simply intended to teach viewers the dance, and he didn't expect people to consider it separate from the visual. But once the video was uploaded, his fellow TikTokers bombarded him with a request that often appears on the app. Make this a sound. The excerpt from "Love Nwan Titi," used by @itsjustnife, the dance's originator, currently has 689,000 uses. Joseph's dance lessons version, which includes his punctuating sounds, has 1.5 million. Joseph's tutorial sounds aren't quite music. They vary in pitch to create emphasis, and he keeps a rhythm, but he isn't singing. Nor, however, is he speaking in the conventional sense, because not everything coming out of his mouth is a word. Love Nwan Titi itself has quite a few non-word lyrics. The chorus consists entirely of ah, repeated several dozen times. These silly noises were what pleased people the most, judging by the comment section. That can happen offline in the classroom, too. My students giggle, Joseph says, but then they start saying the same thing. And if I only played the song, they would say, "Can you make the sounds?" Just as Joseph tried to describe his motions with his vocalizing, so did delighted TikTok users try to approximate those sounds with their stylized phonetic spellings. Solo low, A-A-A, then you gonna network I-I-I-I-I. This is how users share the pleasure of an audio meme in the silent space of typed comments. Creative phonetic renderings, attempts to convey the brain feel of a sound, are all over TikTok, especially when the sound in question involves a human voice. When I sent some examples to Babel, the linguist, to find out how accurate they were, she was impressed. In a video by Caitlin Riley that mocks insipid wedding vows delivered with maximum vocal fry, Babel noted that commenters tried to capture the timing of the speech by giving syllables prominence. Jason is Jason, and today becomes Teddy.
If you had told me a year and a half ago, Teddy, that the guy taking my order at Outback Steakhouse would one day be my husband, I would have never believed you.
Another sound, which accompanies footage of a cat writhing on sunny pavement, consists of the creator, at OwlFaceXD, cheerfully testing out pronunciations of the word concrete, stylized as conk-creamed in the video's caption.
Concrete?
That's yeah. concrete, baby.
Concrete.
Funky, concrete.
Naturally, commenters ran with the theme, offering up concrete, and concrete, among others. For these, Babel praised what she called the orthographic rendering, surmising that the M's indicated a nasal sound. Babel studies vocal attractiveness in part because the existing studies she came across early in her academic career were methodologically limited. Psychologists were trying to divorce voice from language by having a speaker do something robotic, like sustain a single vowel sound, which removes the special aspects of language and could result in someone self-consciously adjusting their voice in an unnatural way. These papers also tended to situate attraction exclusively in sexual space, as if we don't enjoy the voices of children or grandparents or whiny, lovable nerds like Steve Urkel. Babel and her collaborator, Grant McGuire, found an affinity for voices that recapitulate gender stereotypes, meaning men who sound larger and women who sound smaller, for instance, in part because we like predictability and familiarity. But there's an attentional draw to voices that are atypical to us. I asked if it would be accurate, then, to say that we like unusual voices, or that we like unusual voices only if the content of the speech is intelligible. These are top-notch research questions that we still don't really have answers to, she said. But she felt confident saying that we just like variability sometimes. We want to hear a little bit of novelty. We might want to hear a little bit of modulation in pronunciation because it helps keep our attention. We also like information, and expressive voices give us still more to process, even when, or perhaps especially when, they're making sounds instead of words. The tension between predictability and novelty comes up a lot with sound. Predictive coding, a theory that holds that our brains make predictions about what the next element in an unfolding pattern will be, is a crucial element of music. The neuroscientist Robert J. Zatori told me. In fact, it's a big part of all cognition that our brains are constantly figuring out what might happen next. Our reward systems engage when we listen to music based on previous experience. If we hear what we've learned to expect without any deviation, no dopamine is released. If we hear an alteration that was hard to predict, we might get a dopamine boost. But if we don't hear something that we knew to expect because a musician hits an unintended note or your navigation app interrupts a song's climax, our dopamine level drops. Your system actually gets inhibited, Satori explained. Something interesting happens, though, when the expectation is not only met but exceeded. That gives us a huge dopamine burst. This could explain what happened with Joseph's dance lesson. TikTokers knew the bass song very well and could still hear the track accompanying the dance, but they got Joseph's happy vocalizing on top, something they weren't expecting, combined with something they were. After enough repeat listens, Joseph's vocal track became its own separate phenomenon, almost its own song, something fans could sing without Love Nwantiti playing underneath. Audio meme magic is unpredictable, and at the same time feels obvious and inevitable after the fact. Once you've heard the sound, while you're hearing the sound, the Missouri patois parody, the breathy hoots of a video game hero, you hear that it's wonderful, irresistible. That was true for the impromptu serenade of a neighborhood cat named Mashed Potatoes that at June Banoon, a teacher currently living in South Korea, posted in the summer of 2021.
Here comes the boy. Hello, boy. Welcome. There he is.
That was the most aimless singing I've ever done in my life, at June Banoon told me. I used to sing opera in high school. I used to sing in competitions. So for that little bit of complete aimless, pointless singing to go viral was astonishing to me. People around the world really like cat content, and people around the world, overcome with appreciation for a little animal they like looking at, sing to their cats all the time. But June's voice, characterized in comments as angelic and like a Disney princess, paired with the elegant simplicity and accuracy of the lyrics, achieved the platonic ideal of a pet tune. Here comes the boy, June sings as Mashed Potatoes leisurely waddles toward the camera. Hello, boy. Welcome. There he is. He is here, June told me. It was one of those things I originally anticipated posting and deleting within an hour in case nobody really liked it. It currently has more than 42 million plays. We humans have two major auditory communication systems, Satori said. One of them is speech, of course, language. But the other is music. And music, in fact, precedes speech. Parents sing to their infants in every single culture. Lullabies exist in every culture. Music, like food, activates the circuitry of our neurological reward system, which exists to compel us toward the most necessary elements of survival, and so shapes our behavior from the earliest age. We don't need music to survive, Satori says, and yet we're clearly driven to seek it out because of how it affects us. TikTok users have confessed intimate details to June, that the clip reminds them of a recently deceased parent, or that it helps them sleep well. I've probably heard Here Comes the Boy 100 times, and yet as I recalled the clip while typing out its lyrics, I teared up. If you asked me why, the only explanation I can offer would be brain feel. The power of music, Satori says, comes from the neurological pleasure it gives us, and more broadly, from the emotional engagement we get. Music generates social bonds, and so is related to empathy, the ability to connect to another person. Connections occur on TikTok when creators duet each other's videos, posting their new recording side by side with the pre-existing one to add another layer of sound or savor and trade phonetic spellings in the comments, and those attachments can be lasting. What happens on the app doesn't stay on the app, which is why it's such a formidable cultural force and a strong interpersonal one.
Here comes the boy. Hello, boy. Welcome. There he is.
I was recognized in the subway the other day by someone who recently binged my whole account, June said in a speaking voice as mellifluous as singing. We went out to lunch.